From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. European leaders to consider a new migrant quota system. European Commission Chief Jean-Claude Juncker is expected to unveil a country-by-country two-year quota plan Wednesday as the continent struggles to cope with a massive influx of economic migrants and refugees from the Middle East, Africa, and South Asia. The plan could cover as many as 160,000 people, with Germany, France, and Spain taking the most. Donald Tusk is the European Council President, speaking Tuesday in Jerusalem.
Europe is focused for rescuing people's lives. This is the most important goal for us. And as a consequence of this point of view, it's also our fight against human traffickers and smugglers.
The UN warned Tuesday as many as 850,000 asylum seekers could reach Europe this year and next. In Washington, U.S. officials are considering a change in their response after taking in some 1,500 Syrian refugees since the conflict began in 2011. John Kirby is a U.S. spokesman.
No decisions have been made about future resettlement going, you know, past this fiscal year, but I do think it's reasonable to expect and to assume that there will be additional resettlements going into next year. What that's going to look like, how many, I don't have a number for you.
A coalition of U.S. religious groups Tuesday urged the government to take in as many as 100,000 Syrian migrants over the next year. In Sierra Leone, at least three more patients testing positive for Ebola in the north. It follows the death of a 67-year-old woman of the deadly virus in August. The National Ebola Response Center says it expects more cases to be identified. One village of 1,000 is in the midst of a three-week quarantine. The death of the woman last month came less than a week after the last person previously confirmed to have Ebola was released from the hospital. This is VOA News. The United States Tuesday said it's considering ways to remedy problems in the train-and-equip program for moderate Syrian rebels who are going up against the Islamic State. Defense spokesman Peter Cook offered no details on changes to the $500 million program, but says Defense Secretary Ashton Carter believes it's the right strategy to confront the IS group.
Local forces are going to decide this fight against ISIL in large measure, and that has not changed. The Secretary still believes that it's important to provide support to those moderate Syrian forces. We've seen, and the Secretary's been candid about what happened initially with the Train and Equip program. We've learned lessons from that, continue to learn lessons from that, and we're going to continue moving forward with that program.
He acknowledged failures when the first group of 54 recruits inserted into Syria in July were attacked and decimated by the al-Nusra Front, an affiliate of al-Qaeda. A Saudi-led air campaign struck Yemen's capital Sana'a and Marib province, aiming at Shia Houthi rebels following last Friday's missile strike by rebels that killed 60 coalition troops. There are various casualty figures, with accounts saying both rebels and civilians were killed. Debate is underway in the U.S. Congress on the international nuclear agreement with Iran. Supporters say they've gained 41 Democratic senators, enough to block a resolution that opposes the deal. This means President Obama may not have to veto the measure. Minority Leader Harry Reid's among those backing the agreement.
Is the agreement between Iran and the international community, led by the United States, the best pathway to peace and security for America, Israel, our partners, and interests? I believe the answer is unquestionably yes.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney, speaking in Washington Tuesday, is a vocal opponent of the deal.
They have placed on the table for congressional review a deal that provides weapons and funds to a regime that has pledged to destroy Israel and maintains death to America as a central pillar of its policies.
The agreement is designed to contain Tehran's nuclear program in return for an easing of international sanctions. The United Nations says civilian deaths in war-ravaged eastern Ukraine have surged since May, pushing the death toll in the 17-month pro-Russian rebellion to nearly 8,000. Nearly 18,000 others have been wounded. Former Zimbabwean Vice President Joyce Mujuru Tuesday released a political manifesto in a possible sign she intends to challenge long-serving President Robert Mugabe. She was once seen as a possible successor to Mr. Mugabe until being sacked by him in December. The Minnesota dentist who killed Zimbabwe's famed Cecil the Lion returned to work Tuesday after spending weeks avoiding the public eye. In July, Walter Palmer killed the rare black-maned lion who was being tracked with a GPS collar as part of an Oxford University project. Palmer said he and the other hunters in the party had no clue the lion was protected. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.